In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you. I want to say, first of all, to all of you members of Trinity Hoyleton for including me on this very important and fun celebration of your 150 years. And, you know, I'm especially appreciative that you give me a Sunday off of preaching to come and preach. I think they ought to change it to guest listener, and I'll just come to listen to Pastor Wohlenberg preach, but that's okay. I'll forgive you for that. But I am thankful, very thankful to be here, and I want to thank particularly the 150th committee who included me as we got this letter of who is going to be preaching, and I'm looking down the list at all these, like, celebrity LCMS pastors, you know, Dale Meyer and Mark Nebel and Peter Krauske, and I don't belong on this list, so thank you for including me. And I also kind of thought it's surprising that Trinity Hoyleton would even let me in the doors, because as some of you know, I'm a pastor in the Central Illinois District, which happens to be owner and operator of one Camp Silka, who I believe stole one of your pastors. But I guess now that you have Pastor Wohlenberg, you can forgive me and we can move on, I guess. So. And finally, I want to also thank Kurt Grody and the men's choir for including me and inviting me to sing. That was pretty cool, and thought they sounded just awesome, really. You have a wonderful men's choir, and I know Willard would be just thrilled at how that's sounding, and of course the choirs, I'm sure, are better in heaven, but that sounded great. And finally, Pastor Wohlenberg, thank you for sharing your pulpit with me. I've listened to some of his sermons, and I'm quite confident he would have better things to say than I do. But he's humble enough to let me come here and preach this morning. And I should say thanks also for not asking me to do that children's message, which I would have utterly failed at. So that was pretty good. Thank you for not asking me. So our text today, our gospel reading, there's two verses which have the theme that I want to share with you. Jesus says, "So everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. When I first started bringing my wife Valerie back here to home area Hoyleton, this was when we were dating, first married and so forth, sometimes she would play this little game with me when we'd get close here to Hoyleton. So I tried to think about this. Some of you may not even have a clue what I'm talking about. We'll see if you even get this, okay? Some of you have lived in Hoyleton forever. You might just think this is totally normal. But anyway, she would give me a hard time, kind of have fun with me. As we were getting close to home, she'd start, you know, pointing at this farm or this house or point at this field or this car. And who owns that, you know? Who lives there? Who's that field? Who's that tractor, you know? And of course, she'd laugh because, of course, I knew probably about 90% of them, right? If there's anything people around Hoyleton know, it's who owns what field, right? To a fault. Lord have mercy on us. But anyway, she always got a good kick out of that. And unbeknownst to her, of course, if I didn't know one, I'd just make it up. It's pretty easy. I just call out some neighbor. Oh, that's Ike Myers, Castens, you know, Masha. She didn't have any idea. But don't tell her. She thought that was pretty cool. But I think about that, and how much incredibly cooler is it, the words of Jesus this morning, that he says he will confess each and every one of you in here today, you who have confessed him, as you did this morning, he will confess each and every one of you to his Father in heaven. Have you thought about how incredible these words are? Let me try to give you a picture of this. So maybe the Father looks down today and he says, "Who is this in the pulpit at Hoyleton today? And what in the world is he doing preaching there?" Right? Maybe the Father says, "Isn't this the same rascal who gave Pastor Christensen such a hard time in confirmation class? Isn't this the same guy who came flying through town and had to get a lecture from Pastor Nebel about the proper speed limit coming through Hoyleton? Is this the same miserable sinner that I know so well?" And Jesus says, "Yeah, you got him. That's the guy. But I died for him. I paid for his sins on the cross. And he is baptized into my name. And right here at Hoyleton's altar, he confessed me, Jesus, that he believed in me. He's ours. He's your son. He's in our book of life. How incredible is it that Jesus would confess you and I in that way? Jesus doesn't confess fields or farms or tractors or homes. He confesses people, you guys. He confesses souls. And how humbling that is, how comforting it is to think that you and I would ever be worthy of being the topic of conversation in heaven. But that's the truth. That's really the truth. And this isn't me making something up. You have Jesus' words. I mean, what did he say? He says, sparrows, right, are really worthless to us. What do we care about a couple of sparrows? But your Father cares. Not a single one of those sparrows will fall to the ground without him knowing about it. How much more you, he says. Or he says, not even a hair can fall out of your head without God the Father accounting for it. So later, when you're pulling your hair out because this sermon just won't end, God the Father is keeping track of those hairs. Amazing, right? It really is amazing. God, our Father, and Jesus, your Savior, knows you. He knows every one of your sorrows and sadnesses, whatever you are going through right at this moment. He knows all of your sins, just like he knows mine. He knows your anger, your temper. He knows your jealousy, your greed, your lust, all of it. And yet when the Father looks down and says, who are these people? Who's that guy sitting in the pew today and holding? Who's that gal sitting there? Jesus says, they're ours, Father. I know them. I died for them. I rose for them. They've been baptized into my name. And right here, Father, in our book of life, see, there is their name. You remember, like at a baptism, right? You're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but your Christian name is used. So like when I was baptized, Jonathan Paul, that my name, Jonathan Paul, would be on the lips of my Savior. That's a great deal of comfort. And I think truly that's what this 150 anniversary is all about. It's really not about years, is it? It's really not about buildings or money or projects. I mean, those are fine. It's really about people. 150 years of people confessing Jesus and Jesus turning and confessing people to his Father in heaven. And today, of course, as Pastor Wolenberg mentioned, is Confirmation Reunion Day, and it's just perfect. Somebody must have really been genius in planning this, because here you have these verses from Jesus which are read at confirmation. Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. And how many then, in these 150 years, how many have stood here in this sanctuary and confessed Jesus? How many? Well, I was curious, so whenever you need to find some information, who do you go to that knows everything? The pastor, right? I'm kidding. Good night. This is a tough crowd. No, I don't know everything, but Pastor Wolenberg does. So I emailed him, and he did know, or he found out, 1,992 confirmations in the 150 years. 1,992 people have stood here and confessed Jesus, and he has confessed them to his Father in heaven. Now, 150 years, okay, that's great. But 1,992 people, souls, that's awesome. Or 2,424 baptisms. 13 pastors confessing Jesus. At least 50, from my count, 50 teachers confessing Jesus. Or should we walk out of these walls and go out to the cemetery? How many bodies are buried there who confess Jesus, the bodies waiting there for the final trumpet for him to call them out of their graves and rise again? Or how many of those souls are now with Jesus in heaven, confessing him there with us today, all of us one body in Christ, all of us the people of Trinity Hoyleton, confessing Jesus and being confessed by him before our Father in heaven. Now I thought, the way I'm talking, I better be careful. I'm going to give you guys all a big head. You're going to get really prideful and, oh yeah, look at us, you know, Trinity Hoyleton, 150 years, we're pretty special. Well, I thought I'd better bring you back down to size a little bit. So in case I didn't notice, I don't think I did, I don't think that there was anybody that came in this morning that is 150 years old unless I miss somebody. Is anybody 150? I heard Pastor Wolmark say you had recently had a 105-year-old. That's pretty good, but the numbers are mixed up there. It's got to be 150. So I don't know that any of us should really get too prideful, right? None of us were here in 1867. None of us laid the cornerstones. None of us started the school, started the church. So, you know, what are we so proud of? I went back and read the 100th anniversary sermons. I think there's like four or five of those. And in every one of them, what did they say? It's not about the 100 years that are gone. It's about right now. Yes, 150 years are great, but right now is your and my time to confess Jesus. Now is our time. Now is the day of salvation, Paul says. But we say, well, that's just the pastor's job, right? He's the one that's supposed to confess Jesus. Well, in one of those 100th anniversary sermons, there was something that I'm going to steal. It was from a pastor, Paul Stroyford, if I'm pronouncing the name right. He was then vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But he talked about pulpits, and I thought it was so good, I wanted to give it to you again this morning. How many would you say Lutheran pulpits are there in Hoyleton, Illinois? Maybe we'd say, oh, this one, right? There's one. One Lutheran pulpit in Hoyleton, Illinois. Well, if that's the only Lutheran pulpit in Hoyleton, Illinois, then we wouldn't be here, and we'd probably all be pagans. Pastor Wohlenberg is going to do his best, 15 minutes on Sunday morning, but that's not going to cut it, right? There has to be in Hoyleton a lot more pulpits than just this one. And there is. Truth be told, there are a lot of pulpits all over the place. And you all have many pulpits. The fact is, for myself even, I don't consider this my most important pulpit. Yes, it's great to be a pastor and preach on Sunday mornings, but I have a more important pulpit than this. I have a family. I have kids. That's my most important pulpit, where I'm teaching them and confessing Jesus to them all the time. And I think back to my time here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School, and how many people use their pulpits to confess Jesus to me. And I know you all could think of the same thing. How many people here at Trinity Church and School have used their pulpit to confess Jesus to you? Just countless people. I think about all my teachers here, Mrs. Bourgeois, Miss Bachman, Mrs. Judy Caston, Mr. and Mrs. Rinker. The school, of course, is one of the places where the most confessing is happening. Our youth group leaders, Al Meyer and Deb Holly, so many people. But this morning, in my few minutes left, I want to mention two in particular. Some of you will know them, some of you maybe don't. But these two are very, very special to me, if I can get them out without tearing up here. One of them is Clara Jording. Some of you will remember Clara. She was a relative of ours, but she wasn't my grandma, but she and Walter never had kids, so she kind of treated us like grandchildren. Well, anyway, Clara, if some of you remember, she was not a very imposing woman, right? You wouldn't think she had this big pulpit. She was kind of short and very, very soft-spoken. So maybe her pulpit was like this big, but she used it very, very well. And when the four kids in my family, we would go mow her grass, and then afterward we always went into her house, sat around her table, and she'd give us Pepsi and cookies, and we would talk. And, you know, most of the time, what do older people ask you about? Oh, well, how's school? How's your sports? What sports are you doing? This kind of stuff. Well, Clara did that a little bit. But most of all, what I remember talking about is church and Jesus and school. She'd tell us about her years at Trinity Lutheran School almost 100 years ago. And then she talked to me, a young kid, about what she was listening to on KFUO, on Tom Baker's Law and Gospel. And you think, what kid wants to listen to that, right? But here was Clara using her little pulpit to confess Jesus to me. And even as a high schooler, an obnoxious high schooler, sometimes milking cows, I'm listening to Tom Baker's Law and Gospel because Clara told me to. I think about how amazing that was. And Clara, to be quite honest, is a big reason of why I'm a pastor. And I have a book. She had one of her old hymnals, and this means a lot to me. It's an old German hymnal, 1929, from her maiden name, Clara Schierbecker. And it's just a reminder of Clara using her pulpit to confess Jesus to me and to my sisters and my brother, and it was a wonderful thing. And then finally, my grandma, Eleanor Bainey. And my grandma also was not outspoken about things by any means, but a grandma and a grandpa, as you all know, are hugely important to grandkids. And one of my best memories of my grandma was because my parents were members at Trinity Hoffman, and so when we came to Hoyleton, we'd often come with grandma. And one of my best memories, not that it happened all the time, but it happened enough, is sitting with my grandma in the pews you're sitting in right now and singing from the hymnal with her and doing the liturgy with her, and my grandma singing in the choir and singing with the ladies' aid, and that meant a lot. And she used her pulpit as well to show me how important Jesus was to her. And I thought about her because this awesome, cool story, there's a grandma in my congregation, the congregation I serve in El Paso, and her grandson just graduated high school, and he's going off to college kind of far away. And he recently told his grandma, he said, "Grandma, how in the world am I going to go to church if I can't sit by you?" That's pretty good. She's been confessing Jesus to them her whole life, and they've picked up on it. So you all have a pulpit. Very, very important pulpits to confess Jesus. Right here, we're doing it this morning, all confessing Jesus to one another as we join together in singing about him and receiving his forgiveness, but also many other places, at home. You have to confess Jesus at home. You have to. Our kids are not learning about Jesus because we think somebody else is going to teach them. It's not going to happen. You have a pulpit at home with your kids, grandparents. If the parents don't do it, you have a pulpit with them. When they come over to play, teach them about Jesus. Have a devotion with them. Read from the Bible. Tell them what Jesus said and did. Go into the Old Testament about Moses, Abraham, the prophets. Confess Jesus. You all have important pulpits, maybe much more important than the pulpit I'm in this morning. Confess Jesus. And when you do, have these words of Jesus just ringing comfort in your ears that whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. That whenever you're confessing Jesus here, he is bringing you and your name and your cares and your joys and your sorrows to his Father in heaven. We have to confess. It's not 1867. Okay, they had their challenges then, Civil War and many other things. That's not our challenge. It's 2017, and we have our own challenges. I heard Pastor Wohlenberg talking about it in the confirmation reunion deal this morning, that we need to be confessing. In a culture, in a place that doesn't hardly know God, in a place where marriage is just being thrown out as if it's worthless, in a place where male and female is called just ambiguous, it doesn't matter, we have to confess the truth of God's word, and most importantly, the truth of our Savior Jesus Christ, who saves all of us sinners despite ourselves. So, fellow people of Trinity Hoyleton, my last word to you then is confess. What are you afraid of? Jesus says, don't be afraid of him who can kill the body but cannot kill your soul. And in our introit, we said, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? So confess. Thank you very much, Trinity Hoyleton, for allowing me to come and be with you this morning. It was a great joy, and I pray the Lord would bless all of you and this congregation for many years to come. In Jesus' name, amen.